There is a race that goes on, a jogging celebration for sunrise. And so you could participate in it. There's a catch to it, though. You have to be an experienced runner. That is, that you have to be one of those who runs normally 4 or more miles per day in order to do it. So don't all sign up at once, but that'll give you something to do new next year. Well, it is Easter morning, and because of that, we find that it is a day of celebration, but it's a day that's unbelievable. Unbelievable! You know, there's some very unbelievable things that occur in this world. Some things that you just can't believe. One of those things that sometimes people don't believe is the resurrection itself. But you know, they're not alone. Remember, Peter and John, they ran. The ladies told them, and they ran to go see it themselves. We find in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29, we find another person who doubted. It's a famous person that many people, sometimes not religious even, realize, that's Doubting Thomas. He himself doubted. You know, sometimes there's truth in this life that just seems absolutely unbelievable. We're not prepared to believe it. For example, would you believe until the 19th century, solid blocks of tea was used as cash in Siberia? I didn't realize that until I found out these strange but true facts. Did you know that the Philadelphia Mint prints off 26 million pennies per day? That's almost hard to believe. Here's another one. One perfect for our season. One ragweed plant can release as many as 1 billion grains of pollen. I believe it. And I think they all did it this last week. Here's another one. This one will really get you going. If you count one number for every second, it would take you almost 31,710 years to count to the number 1 trillion. So if you were able to take one number every second and be able to say that whole number in 1 second and count each second, it'd be 31,710 years before he got to 1 trillion. Here's an interesting fact. If you want to get to the national debt, that's 495,655 years and 9 months. Well, that puts perspective on things. It's strange, but it is true, and it may seem unbelievable. And for those of you that are trying to figure out if that's actually accurate or not, I did it 3 times just to make sure. While you're checking your math, you think to yourself, that seems unbelievable. And do you know how unbelievable it sounds to hear that somebody you know that you went to their funeral and you watched as their body was laid in the grave and you watched them even pile the dirt on top to say 3 days later have one of your friends come up and say, hey, did you know I saw them? No, they're alive. What would you think? You would, one, maybe be angry. If it was someone you love dearly, what a cruel, wicked thing to do. Kind of a mockery of that person. Real dishonor to them to say that that you saw them alive again. What kind of person does that? That's outrageous. But they sound so convincing, you then begin to think, wait a minute, I know what the problem is. These guys are a little loony. They're off the rocker. What happened? They must have gotten to something. They were spraying the weeds in their yard, and they must have mixed it up with their pop and drank some. Because now they think this person's alive, when clearly he is dead. You saw him die. You saw him at the funeral. You saw him put him in the grave. In John chapter 20, verse 24, we find Thomas is that person just like you. who would say, that's just unbelievable. It says, but Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands with my own eyes and the prints of the nails and put my fingers in the prints of the nails and I put my hand in his side where they stabbed him. Thomas, I wonder if he was there and witnessed the fact that when Jesus died on the cross and the Roman guard that came to break his leg said, wait a minute, he's already dead. Another said, well, make sure, and took that spear and thrust it up under his ribs into his heart, and the water and the blood came out. He certainly was dead. If he wasn't dead, he was then. That same person, he says, unless I could put my hand in his side and feel the scar from that and see the scar in his hands, I don't believe it. Do you blame him? How ridiculous would it be of someone you knew to have come back from the dead? You would never believe it. You have people that you've loved that have gone on before. The parents, grandparents, maybe a spouse, maybe a child. And someone said, hey, I saw them just down the street. You'd probably knock the block off, wouldn't you? So you understand, it's nice to know there's somebody with their head on their shoulders. For what kind of crazy man runs around saying they saw someone who clearly died, has risen from the dead? After all, that's what many people think of us who believe that. What kind of crazy people are these that believe a man 2,000 years ago dying has any significance to us, and that coming back to life has a significance to us? Could even happen. So you can see that Christians just follow blindly whatever somebody tells them. Because everybody knows that can't happen. It's nice to know that of all the 12, at least somebody had their head on their shoulders and could say, wait a minute, I don't believe it. From a worldly standpoint, we'd say that was the only guy that thought through the whole thing. Well, sometimes the truth is unbelievable. The people don't believe the Bible because they've been told it's made up a bunch of fables. Some guy sat down and wrote a bunch of things. Some collection of different stories in the past that just make us feel good. Oh, I tell you, when I read the Bible, there's a lot of things in there that don't make me feel too good. It's full of errors and contradictions. You've probably heard that. And maybe you've even believed that at one time, if not still now. But have you done any further with that than what you've just heard? Have you gone to see for yourself if that's true? Thomas, he said, this is what I've heard, and I'm not going to believe it till it's right in front of my face. You might be like that with many other things as well. You're not alone. But you know what? You don't have to believe the truth for it to be true. Not at all. You don't have to believe that the sun is shining for it to be shining. Did you know that? That's true. You can absolutely disbelieve the law of gravity. There's no reason to believe it. Well, think about it. The law of gravity, if I have the law of gravity that says a pole keeps me down to earth, right? Can you see gravity? No, you can't. You can see the effect of it, but you can't see gravity. You can't smell it. You can't touch it. You can't hear it. There is no empirical proof that gravity exists. That's actually why it's called a theory. Because they can't prove it. Why? Because you can't see it. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. You can't hear it. You can't touch it. Therefore, you have every reason to say it doesn't exist. But just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because Thomas said, wait a minute, unless I with my own eyes see it and touch him, I'm not going to believe it. And verse 26 says, 8 days after his disciples were again inside, Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the middle of them. Think of it this way. The doors here of this building are not locked. But if we were to lock all the doors and all windows And we are to gather here in this room, maybe even put furniture up against these. That won't help much. We have to do it on the outside, and that doesn't really accomplish much. So that's not going to help. But if we are to nail up boards maybe against these doors and the windows, not a person would come in, and all of a sudden Jesus were to stand right there, what would your first reaction be? Well, it's a ghost, right? It's some sort of spirit. People, you cannot just appear somewhere, right? Otherwise, we'd appear at McDonald's every time our wife wasn't looking. We can't just appear somewhere. Yet, Jesus appeared. Not only did he appear, he said to them, he spoke, peace be to you. And he said to Thomas in particular, put your hands, your fingers here. Look at my hands. Reach out your hand here. Put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And what did Thomas do? Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. The light came on. The rest of the disciples that were trying to convince him of this truth, the light finally came on. He realized they were speaking the truth. They weren't out of their brain. They weren't having hallucinations. There wasn't anything fantastic that was going on that caused them to think what wasn't, could not be true. Thomas himself, that doubting man, then came to the point, and I always, when I picture this story, I always picture Thomas standing there, then Jesus pointing him out, Thomas, you come. And as soon as Thomas sees, and he's told to put his hand there, he doesn't even reach out. He drops to his knees and looks up and says, my Lord and my God. He realized then this man, Jesus, was indeed who he said he was, God in the flesh. They did accomplish the paying of penalty for all of our sin so we could go to heaven. That this man, Jesus Christ, was the only way to salvation. Thomas may have believed that before, but seeing the resurrection, how much more sure that's made in his life, if not this being that turning point. Thomas believed. We look at today and we can't see Jesus because he's in heaven. Isn't that convenient that we can come up with a belief system that you can't prove because he's in heaven? What a lame excuse. But let's look at the records. We see the testimony of his followers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all testifying in their written records that Jesus had risen from the dead. So what? They said something. We find a testimony of more than 500 witnesses. Paul said, we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said more than 500 at one time. Well, a hallucination is never seen by more than one person, particularly at the same time. Even our psychologist today, or psychiatrist, whichever it would be, says that it is impossible for more than one person, much less 500 people, to have that same vision. More than 500 people at one time. And Paul says they're still alive today. You could go ask them yourself. Could you imagine we have a murder here in Omaha, Nebraska? Is that hard to believe? No. We have a murder here in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, and the guilty party is sitting right there before the judge, and they have these witnesses come up. This was done in a public place, and 10 witnesses come up and point out that man killed him. And the lawyer, the prosecuting attorney, says, I have 490 other people who will testify this man had done that. If he were to, even just those witnesses, which typically are not the best evidence, but to have 500 of them testify the same thing, that's pretty overwhelming evidence. We find that the testimony of the Roman soldiers who guarded the tomb, we find recorded in the book of Luke that they went and away from, they saw what happened in the sense that the angel came down and moved the stone and they fainted as a result of that. They went to the priests, the religious leaders, and said that, wait a minute, this thing has happened. For those religious leaders hated Jesus. And they wanted the tomb guarded because they did not want the disciples to come steal the body and spread this lie that Jesus had raised from the dead just like he said he would. So those Roman soldiers came and testified that the body was gone. And you have to understand, for a Roman soldier to have neglected his duty that way meant the pain of death. So you find the Roman soldiers also are testimony of this. We find also that the grave clothes, when you look at Peter and John, they go there. Peter looks in and it says the grave clothes were still there. When in that day, they would take and mummify the body. Not Egyptian mummification, a little different. They wouldn't take the organs out, but they would take and wrap the body up, kind of like a mummy, and lay it down there on the stone tab. Well, would a thief, if the body was stolen, come in, take the time to unwrap it, and then wrap it in a similar form, shape, and then take the head dressing and fold it real neatly and set to the side? That's what Peter saw. The evidence is pointing to the fact that this actually happened. We find that Christ spoke, as we see here, to his followers. Not only did he speak to them, but they were touched. He was touched by them. They touched him. They felt him. He said, see, I have bone and flesh and bones, not like a ghost has. He not only did that, but he ate and drank with them to prove he was living. An overwhelming evidence caused Josh McDowell, who's given the challenge as a person who was anti-Christian, he was given the challenge, look at the resurrection, prove that it didn't happen. And so he looked at all the evidence he could collect inside the Bible and outside of the Bible. Not just religious writings, but secular writings. And he came to the conclusion that it is impossible for the resurrection to not have happened. And it changed his life, for he put his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said the harder that he tried to prove Christ could not have risen from the dead, one of the central teachings of Christianity, the harder he worked to prove it, the more and more evidence demonstrated the reality of it. We find the martyrdom of Christ's followers. Not only did they testify, but they even went to death based on this teaching that they taught. Whatever you may be with Jesus Christ and his resurrection won't change the fact that it's true. If you're like Thomas and need that evidence to say, well, I'm not sure, here's just a little bit of it. These things are definitely true. Jesus responds to Thomas in verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus, looking ahead in time to those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, says we are blessed because we did not have to see in order to believe. Faith. Faith is accused of being blind following. Faith is far from that. Faith is a logical progression of thought. Given all the evidence of Jesus Christ, what's the most logical thing to do? The most logical thing to do is for you to declare Jesus Christ as your God and your Lord. To put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, many of you here have, most of you here have. So what does this mean to you? You know, sometimes as Christians, we don't believe. Oh, we believe, but not quite as well as we should. We believe in so many things about the Bible. We believe it's true. We believe everything it says it's true. But then we doubt. We forget God's promises. We forget that God will take care of us. We forget that God will give us His peace. He come that we can have joy and have it more abundantly. We get wrapped up and caught up in this world and the cares and worries of this world. We forget to have the future look of the finish line. I've been doing some running And when I run, my legs, especially at first, will feel real tired and achy. Then you get warmed up and get going, and then you feel real good. And then you come towards the end, where the last almost quarter of a mile is uphill. And you push yourself. You don't think about the pain that you're feeling, because you know once you get to the top of the hill and just a little further is home, and then you can stop. I'm still walking up that hill partway. But I push myself. Why? Because I want to finish well. In this life, believer, we have so many difficult things, hard things that we have to deal with. It has to do with our money, has to do with our family relationships, has to do with things at work or not having work, has to do with the stresses of life, has to do with all kinds of things. How do we deal with that? Do we look, do we have to have that evidence that God is with us? Do we have to have little stars in our eyes to say, oh, well, God is with me, so everything's going to be okay? Do we have to have a note or a phone call from God Himself to say, don't worry, I'm taking care of you? Or can we, unlike Thomas, say, I believe because He said? We need to have that trust in Him. We need to trust Him for the course of our life. We need to trust Him and realize what God has done for us and then proclaim it to others, knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt, we do serve a risen Savior. Oh, we are so blessed indeed. There are many religions in this world who worship a stick or a piece of metal or a tree or a rock. They worship themselves as they meditate on who they are and becoming one with nature. The world worships their own fleshly desires as everything is about what makes them feel good. Is it women? Is it money? Is it power? The world is chasing after those things. But we have a risen Savior, a real God with real promises of hope and joy everlasting. If you're here and you don't know those things, you either need to make sure that you're saved or need to get right with God. You can enjoy life in a tremendous way if you trust Him. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for what You have done for us. You have given Your Word, which shown many infallible demonstrations of the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that You would be with each one here who perhaps maybe sees this as their good deed for the year or some sort of duty that they must perform and yet don't know Your Son personally as their Savior. I ask that You would help them recognize that because of their sin, they're guilty and unworthy to be in heaven with You. That means only one other place. Father, I ask that You would help them to recognize that Your Son died in their place to pay for their payment for sin. And Lord, that because of what He did, they can trust not only in His death and burial, but resurrection, knowing their sins have been paid for. Thank You, Father, that when we come to You with seeking forgiveness and place our trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and our Savior, that You indeed forgive and then promise that we'll be in heaven with You. Father, we believe that, and yet sometimes we doubt You. I ask that You'd help us and grow our faith, that we would not be like Thomas, but rather that we would be those who are blessed because despite what's going on around the world, that we have faith in what You've done for us and will do for us. Thank You, Father, for all of this. In Jesus' name.